You know? Whoa.
Fucking, I noticed that on one of the episodes. Fucking Sickler put his goddamn stupid Baltimore hat up there and took down my FSU hat.
I did not notice that.
Oh, you didn't? With that baby head? You see how big that head is?
Yeah.
And it smells the way a guy from Baltimore wear a hat all the time. 100%.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's another episode of Two Bears, One Cave. I'm Tom, and joining me is a guy who's got a few opinions of his own about the Jewish-controlled media. It is Bert Kreischer.
What's
that? I'm on Molly.
Nice. Nice, bro.
Dude, I get my blood pressure is so fucking low, I'm losing feeling in my toes. My blood pressure is so low, Tom.
It's Why is your blood pressure so low?
So I'm still taking my medication, but I haven't been drinking, and I've been working out, and I lost weight, and I'm just like, what is life? You know, you look at the guy that's selling boats in Orlando and just isn't in love with his wife anymore, and he just kind of looks at life and goes, huh, you know?
That's how you feel?
I don't know. I really should have been in therapy this month.
You should have.
I should have, because I,
by the way, you can still do that.
Yeah, it's too late.
Why is it too late?
I don't trust them. They have mortgages, Tom. Therapists are broken people. If you hear one thing I've ever said on this show, know this. Your therapist has a car. That car has a payment that's due every month. As long as that motherfucker has a car, you're going to have problems. That's how that works.
Okay.
That's how they make the fucking sausage. You think he's ever going to solve all your problems? If you were a therapist, right? Say you're a therapist. You could charge $1,200 an episode or whatever a thing.
An hour?
An hour.
God damn, $1,200.
So you're my guy, right? And yeah. So then you come in and you go, here's my problem, dot, dot, dot. And I could fix it right now, or I could fix it in two, like the next time I'll sell you. And then I can get $2,400.
Yeah.
Or better yet, I got to lie on a beach house. Right?
Yeah.
I could keep going. I could get it. Like, that's how that works, right?
I don't know that that's how that works.
Pretty much. Dentists are that way. Don't ever fucking trust a goddamn dentist.
Just don't.
They're fucking hacks, dude. They're hacks. Dentists are the fucking car mechanics of the fucking future.
But I still think with every...
And there are people going, fucking preach, Bert. It's true. You know it.
I've told the story of the dentist who completely... I went to see this dentist that was offering this free thing to the staff of the show I was working on. And then they did a cleaning and they did a whitening and they go, do you want us to just check you out real quick? And I go, sure. And then they go, come back. They go, you have 17 cavities. I go, I have 17 cavities. And they go, yeah.
Yep.
Do you want us to do that right now? And I was like, no. And then I went to another dentist and he was like, you have no cavities, right? He's like, you have none. But that also shows you that there's two, like, there's still a decent dentist out there.
Yeah, the ones in Latin America.
Well, this was
if you get a Latin American dentist, because to them it's still witchcraft, right? Like, it's still a little bit of witchcraft. They fix your teeth, and it's a big fucking deal. All of a sudden, you're presentable to the village, right?
Yeah.
But so when you get, I'm being dead serious. I only fuck with Latin American dentists.
Okay,
my dentist better be like, here's the deal, big guy. I don't know what accent I'm doing right now.
That sounded a little Italian.
He's like, hey, my dentist right now. The dentist I have right now is a miracle worker. I'm pretty sure he's Peruvian.
Okay.
And he did George's teeth, my teeth, Isla's teeth, and he just gets it.
And you needed real dental work.
I needed legit dental work. Three white dudes. You know what they said?
Right.
We're going to have to break your jaw. One other white guy. Oh, you know, I'm going to take out all your teeth. Take out all your teeth. It's going to change what you look like. All white guys. You know why? Those white guys didn't appreciate being dentists. They want boats. They want status. They want status. This fucking Peruvian dentist... He, you know what he wants? He wants to make miracles happen. He feels good. His soul is what he's taking. It's because he's Catholic, I think.
Yeah.
If you believe in Catholicism, you're a better dentist.
that's what I always say. I think.
It's the miracles. He thinks he'll be ordained one day.
Well,
I thought you'd back me up because your mom's Peruvian. I bet she has gorgeous teeth, right? They did them in the village with some sugar cane.
She's got some gold ones. She's got some old school.
Your mom's
got
to have gold. Racist thoughts against white people, right?
Against white people? Well, she thinks she's white. Ooh. She learned that like a few years ago that she wasn't. She was like, what do you mean I'm not white? We're like, you're not white.
Your mom.
And she was like, I'm not white. What am I? I'm like, you're a Latin lady. You're olive. And she was like, I'm not white. And I was like, no.
Your mom's like a crocodile who thinks it's an alligator.
Yeah. Yeah.
She does look white until you get close.
Yeah. She's got her prejudices for sure. She's 78, man.
Is she 78?
She just turned 78.
God, she looks fantastic.
She looks all right.
She looks fantastic for 78. You think you'll look that good?
I don't think I'll be alive at 78.
Oh. I think your skin looks beautiful.
Mine?
Yeah. I'm jealous of your skin.
You're being serious?
I'm being dead serious. My skin is a shit show.
What are you talking about?
My skin? It's just, I've gotten so much sun damage from being on Travel Channel.
You look actually, though, because I see you like every few weeks and stuff.
Yeah.
You look much better than the last time I saw you.
I'm not as inflamed.
Yeah. I think
there's rosiness that's out of my cheeks and my face looks skinnier.
I'm going to bring some clothes for you tomorrow.
Please.
I have to buy all new clothes.
Oh, yeah.
So I have some good stuff.
Yeah, those high water short jeans are in now, too.
Yeah. Sure.
As the Andrew Schultz wear them all the time.
Yeah.
That's what the boys do. They wear like hot, like jeans that go higher than
normal. Yeah, I've seen that. That's not really what I wear, but yeah.
You know what? You know what's interesting? Me and you dodged thank you. I'm really excited. And definitely all your watches that don't fit, bring those over too. Car you can't fit.
Oh, can
in,
I just say this real quick?
Yeah.
I just, every time we talk about like a watch or a car, I'll get this a bunch of messages from losers that try to tell me that I'm making them feel bad about their situation. You're in control of your own situation and your own feelings. So don't put it on me that you feel bad that I have something that, oh, but I'm struggling with rent this month. Figure it the fuck out. Okay. Like, don't make my life be a problem for your life. If you don't like it, guess what? You're not going to be able to control what people talk about. People are going to talk about things that you don't have for the rest of your fucking life. So you can decide like, okay, I won't, fine. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to that person anymore. But you have to control your own feelings. Okay. It's not on other people to make sure they don't talk about a topic that makes you feel bad. All right. Like I lost 20 grand gambling this weekend. Go ahead.
You get to choose to be one of the two people. You can be the person that's, sticks in the fucking hole and goes, woe is me. Or you can be the person that goes, oh, that's cool. I want that shit.
Sure.
I want to work to get that shit. Dane Cook is my example of this. Dane Cook got cool shit. He had cool shit. I just talked to him about it. I remember I got into his car. He had the Land Rover, the big Land Rover with a cell phone inside there when I got in his car. Now, look, there are comics that saw him pull up to the Laugh Factory back in the day, and they're like, fuck him.
Of course.
I saw it, and I went, oh, that's cool, man.
I thought that,
that's
too.
That's possible.
I thought that, too.
And I will tell you, as someone that witnessed fucking the touchdown of this man, Tom Segura did not always have money. You think you were short on rent? Tom went through a pecan pie epidemic where he was eating pecan pies left and right and spending his money on pecan pies, living in Koreatown in the sketchiest fucking neighborhood in the world. Well, that's a great speech, man.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, you can't... Look, I understand, like, I understand if, you know... Hey, man, if you got, like, physical ailments and we're making fun of physical ailments, that's fine, but achievements, you should look at people who achieve and get inspired. I think
the main problem that I have with the issue is somebody saying, you having a conversation makes me feel bad about my situation, therefore you should avoid that. It's like, dude, you don't live in the real world.
No.
If that's how you think the world works, that you can let people know that a conversation about something makes you feel bad about your situation, good fucking luck.
You're establishing yourself as powerless.
You absolutely. And you're taking no ownership of your own feelings. Like people have said to me before, you know, this joke you did, it made me feel bad. And I go, no, I didn't do that. And they're like, no, it did. I go, no. You are in charge of your own feelings.
Yeah.
You are. So you can't put it on me that the joke made you feel bad. You feel bad. You chose to feel bad. It's not my responsibility to control how you feel.
I don't like horror movies. I don't watch them. I don't watch them and then complain to Rodrigo Ramirez or whatever the guy's name is.
Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. And then go, hey, man, your movie bothered me.
Yeah.
You can't be making those movies.
No, of course
not. No, people like it. There are people that hear. I love talking about watches. I really do. Because
sure.
I just got into watches. I don't have a ton of watches, but I like when people talk about them. I can't afford every fucking watch. And I talked to Kevin Christie the other day.
God, that guy's got so much.
And we were talking about the watch Magnum PI wore. I had fun Googling it. Hey, look, I also Googled dogs. Not because I want to fuck them, but because I like dogs. I can't buy every dog.
We had a major interruption at my show this weekend because your name came up. And like as we're moving on, this guy goes, he fucks dogs. And I was like, I'm sorry. And then he was like, Bert, he fucks dogs. And then people were like, what did he say? And I was like, God damn it. So I had to like, because there's people who didn't know. And they're like, he fucks dogs. I go, no, he doesn't actually fuck dogs.
I did. I did this thing. I had this bit about you and I was.
Is it going in your special?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I had to skinny up. I had a whole fucking 15 minutes on you.
Yeah.
And it was funny shit, but then.
I have a short thing about you.
I
think it's staying in.
I have two short things about you that I think. Well, I know one's staying in. I know one is. But I had one where. Never mind. So wait, there are people in this world that when they see fancy things on screen.
They feel terrible. Yeah, of course. Oh, good. Oh, you're talking about a nice car? I don't have a nice car, and I'm struggling right now. It's like, all right, you think people should stop talking about cars?
Yeah.
One more thing I got to tell to people who are like, because I was thinking about this too. Like,
I love this part of you.
I was the same way that you were when I was broke. I never got mad at somebody who was like, here's my 911 or here's my Rolex, whatever. I'd watch those. I'd be like, that's awesome. I hope I can get that. You know, I want to work towards
stuff
that.
I hope I can get.
Here's the thing. If you're still mad about this, just know that it's your mindset and you're thinking like a fucking loser, but you don't have to.
You don't.
You can change the way you think, but you have to accept the way you're thinking right now is not going to get you anywhere. You're being bitter. You're being petty. You're insecure. You're not confident. And you can change that, but you have to be proactive. If you just sit around and you know what? You only have what you have because of fans. So don't talk about us like that. Yeah, but you're still a loser if you're thinking like that. And so you're maybe, I'm lucky to have you as a loser fan, but you don't have to be that way. You could be a winner. You know, you just got to change the way you think.
Isla 1 year came in. I got her the iPad with the pen.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was a while back. It was like right when I was selling tickets at clubs, like legit selling tickets at clubs, $30 tickets too. And
feels good.
Which is a big bump. It's a big bump from $20. Anyone can sell a $20 ticket. A $30 ticket's a fucking, that's when people start fucking leaving you as a fan.
Yeah.
Too rich for my blood, B-man. And it hurts. You read that and you're like, fuck. Am I fucking my fan? I should go back to $25 tickets, $20 tickets. So Isla came in 1 year. And she comes in, she goes, hey, thanks for the iPad for Christmas. I said, yeah. And she goes, how many shows did you have to do to get this iPad? And I was like, well, probably just one. Like I could afford it in one show. And she goes, how many people had to come see you for me to get this iPad? And I was like, probably like maybe 10 people. And she goes, how long did those 10 people have to work to get that ticket? And I was like, well, some of them had to work all day. She was like, so 10 people had to work all day so that I could get an iPad. And I went, you're fucking me up, Isla.
Yeah.
I go, don't do this.
Yeah.
She was like, and then she was like, did you tell the machine story? I go, I did. She goes, okay, good. It just walked out. I was like, that put perspective on like, I put perspective for me on going, I better be prepared every fucking night to fucking put on a show.
Yeah.
If they want to hear the machine comes out. If they're yelling Flying Dildos, we're going to tell part of Flying Dildos. Like, I remember that Isla, she was young. Her little broken fucking brain, because she's dyslexic, and dyslexic people think sideways about things.
Yeah.
They say the majority of billionaires are dyslexic. Isla's little fucking broken brain brought that back to me the Christmas day.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck.
It's a big, I mean, the thing that still, you know, gets to, like, that still wakes me up. So this has been a daunting tour for me. I did my 200th show of the year in September. So I'm going to be at like 250 for this year, at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And like sometimes you're just worn out. Like you get backstage and you're like, fucking A. This is the 8th show of the week and the 6th city of the week. You're like, yeah. God damn. Anytime I go to Instagram and I see stories of people, like they're out like, hey, we're about to go in.
Yeah.
It immediately wakes me up if I'm exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
Or like if I see them going like, you know, I just, you know, we got a babysitter and we're at the party. I'm like, oh man, you got to put on a good show. You know, it changes my whole
mood. Well, because I mean, look, here's the deal. You know, the flip side of this is there are people that, you know, hard on their times. Like there was a couple that came to my show. They weren't like cunty. They last night they came and they were like, they just wanted to get a picture. And I was like, oh, cool. So you guys at the show. And they're like, oh, we're having rough times financially. We're going to make it to the show, but we thought we'd come down and just, you know, say hi and get a picture. We love Two Bears. And I was like, cool. I said, well, I'll just comp you guys tickets. And they're like, what? I was like, well, yeah, you're fans. I want you to see the show.
Yeah.
And they fucking lost it. They came at the end of the night, sober, by the way. They didn't drink. They were on hard times and fucking had a blast. And I was like, oh, yeah. For some people you see in those stories, you remember that they're spending a lot of money to come see you. You got to fucking put on a show. You got to. Don't just go and phone it in. I've always been blown away by the comics, I won't say their names, that did do a tour and then just kind of fucking phone it in. And they don't work on the material. And they, I like, that has, I want to say names so bad.
Do it.
I want to say names so bad. But you go, what the fuck? You don't care about the words coming out of your mouth? And what, that people got a sitter and got parking and fucking, that blows me away.
You know, sorry, I just remembered this. That
yeah, go back off on poor people.
No, I hooked up a couple poor whites that sent me messages about wanting to come to the show. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'll give it to them. I was on, you know, Colbert a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I told the story, which is true, that that Ellis was still asking like to have his ass wiped, right? Like a couple months ago, he's like, I pooped. You got to wipe. I'm like, come on, dude. I go, you got to wipe your ass. He's like, I'll do it when I'm older. And I'm like, how old? He's like, 16. I was like, there's no fucking way I'm wiping your ass till you're 16. And
Dad!
Yeah. I'm like, fucking hey, I'm not getting you a car. So he saw that. He saw that video. And like, he was like, you know, trying to figure out the hell's going on. He was like, what are you doing? Where are you? Talking about me?
Yeah.
And then I got home last night and I was like, hey, do you know what I do? And he was like, yeah, you tell jokes. You're a comedian. I was like, that's right. And he goes, you're like, Ellis won't wipe his ass, but I do wipe my ass.
Ellis won't wipe his ass, but I do wipe my ass.
He goes,
I don't know if you know things have changed.
Yeah, he's like, things have changed on your tour.
Mom, tell this guy I wipe my ass
and
now.
She was like, it's true. He doesn't need you. And I was like,
he's
okay.
Like Joe Pesci and yeah. Goodfellas. It's been a while. You've been gone for a long time, Tommy.
Yeah, you've been gone for a while. Why don't you get your fucking shoebox? Your shine box, that's what it is.
Yeah, go get your fucking shine box, Tommy.
You've been gone a long time. Things are different.
What a great... I just heard someone say Ralph Macchio had something he said about Joe Pesci, working with Joe Pesci. I forget what it was.
You know what was insane? Well, this is nothing... My father would mispronounce so many fucking words.
For real?
So, and he would say, hey, you know that actor Joe Pesci? And I'm like, where have you ever heard that? Who ever said Joe Pesci?
But you, was it because he'd read it and then mispronounce it? Because I
he said all kinds of shit.
Like, I thought her name was Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
And I've been calling her Dua Lipa for a while. She's Albanian. I know that because I have a joke about Albanians in my special.
Yeah.
And I've been calling her Dua Lipa.
That's a real Joey Diaz move. Dua Lipa.
Yeah. And it's because I know who Lupita is. And I know who Dua Lipa is.
Uh-huh.
So I mixed them into one person, Dua Lipa. Okay. You know who Lupita is, right?
No.
She's a
big pop star? Is that
No. Type in Lupita. She's beautiful. Lupita. I think I'm saying the right name. Or is it Dua Lipa? Lupita. Yeah. I can't read what that is, but yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes.
She was in, Shh. Yeah. Is that the name of the movie? Shh. Nope. Not Nope. Shh. This movie.
Okay.
What movie is that?
Us.
She was in Us.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very pretty.
She's beautiful. I've always been more attracted to dark skinned black women.
As opposed to light skinned black women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
It's like the girl from, do you remember the girl from Belly?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Like, I'm talking fucking dark.
Yeah.
The darker, the better, in my opinion.
And DMX just fucks the life out of her. Yeah, I remember that.
That was such a great one. I can't believe DMX is dead.
It sucks. That's her right there.
No. That's fucking... What's her name? No. Who I like is the fucking murderer. Type in Hitman Belly.
Hitman?
Hit woman. Yeah.
Okay.
The one with the fucking... She had the feathers in her hair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And she came in and killed him in the middle of the night.
Oh. Cinematically, such a fucking... Because you got Hype Williams directing this. So
how cool is it that you had a... This is what I thought was cool about that movie.
Yeah.
Maybe that I'm an idiot, but you had a black man cinematically putting black people on screen.
Right.
So it had a different feel than any other movie you'd ever seen because he lit it for black people exclusively.
Well, that he, you know, he was the Hype was the hottest music video director in the age of the hottest music videos.
Is he black?
Hype? Yeah.
What's he look like? Pull up Hype Williams. What's he doing now? He made all the fucking best music videos.
His music videos were the fucking just insane. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. He did. I mean, he knew how to light and shoot and. But here's the thing, every shot of that, like if somebody was like looking out the window in a car, it looked like a music video was about to start.
You know?
Like it just, the angle, the lighting, the cinematography, everything was like, you felt like every shot was, it was so cool. It was like the coolest looking movie on top of, you know, the soundtrack and.
Method Man in that was awesome.
Method Man, yeah.
Clifford was one, that's his name, isn't that crazy that his name's Clifford?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a Clifford.
Yeah.
Clifford. He looks like Earl.
You know that's where I got my nickname, right?
Clifford?
No.
Oh, yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. There.
Of course.
Oh, this is, I'm about it.
Yeah.
Oh. I rolls dolo, state from state. I remember this movie so fucking well.
Yeah. We about to drop a dime on these motherfuckers, right? He's eating a banana.
I love it.
Pressing that banana against his mouth. What's the science? Knowledge? Boom.
What's the science? Knowledge.
Yeah.
He was great. Why didn't he? I would love to know more. I would like to see a I would like to read an autobiography on Method Man.
I'm sure that's out there.
No. But yeah, but not. I don't want to read the one that fucking his agents and managers put together.
Oh, right.
That's exhausting. I want to read the one.
He's a pretty accessible dude, I bet you. Have you seen him fucking... deadlifting like 500
dude,
recently.
Pull up. Oh, this is what
it's wild.
Yeah, I love that he did that. Like
he's
like,
getting strong as shit. Yeah.
Type in Method Man naked.
What?
He can take. Whoa! Look at him. He's
go to his IG, man.
Jacked.
Yeah, he's posting this stuff all the time where he's like really getting after it in the gym. Look at that second.
Oh, look
post
at
right
he's actually deadlifting right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, he's got 86,000 likes on it. Whoa, how much is he deadlifting?
That's 495.
No.
Yeah, man.
No.
Yes, and he's 51 or 2, right?
He's got to be on testosterone.
He's in his 50s, and look, this is not that hard for him. Yeah. To cow.
But, you know, he's always had, he's... Look at that.
That was lightweight. Yeah, man. He's way buffer than he used to be. I mean, he was always like a, you know, big lean dude, but he is putting on muscle.
I'm gonna ask this. This is gonna be a little
he's
volatile.
He's benching right there.
What?
Look at the 2 over. Bench, yeah.
Oh, what's he benching?
Look at that. What is that?
That's 225.
5 reps of 315? Seriously?
Shut up.
Yeah, dude. Method Man's fucking
5
strong.
Reps of 315?
That's what it says.
Holy cow.
He's fucking, it's impressive, man.
All right.
The guy's in his 50s, dude.
I'm going to ask a somewhat, let me see this, 5 reps. Whoa, that looks light to him.
I mean, it's, and that wasn't an easy one right there. That third, he's going to get 2 more. I don't know, man. I'm impressed.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. One more, oh, one
you
more.
Got, you got one more in you?
One more.
God damn,
man. I want to hang out with Method Man. Shut
Let me be the first to say, Mr. Hot Nichols, that was very impressive.
Very impressive.
Light one up.
Yeah, do you think, I don't think he still smokes weed.
Really?
I think he's like, I don't know, he's a really fascinating guy. He's one of the ones,
sure.
There's something, it sounds the wrong thing to say, but there's something sexy about the way he ran his career, in that you didn't know everything about him. He was kind of private. He, you know, you knew he was a good dad. His son's name was Doodoo. Yeah, it was, I remember watching this on Method Man's son's nickname.
Okay. All right. What is his son's nickname?
Okay. Oh, it's not. But I only know that because I was watching. Method Man has a glass eye.
No, he'll put that in, like as a stage thing, you know.
Oh, but he was on Day in the Life on MTV a long time ago. Uh-huh. And he went and got his haircut with his son.
Yeah,
and I just remember him calling him like Doodoo Boy or something.
Okay.
But his. He's, you know, here's the thing, not to Raekwon Smith. Oh, wow. Here's my question, right?
Yeah.
The hip hop community has always flashed watches and cars.
Right.
What would be the, no one has ever given any pushback to a hip hop artist about a watch or a car. Why would you get pushback? Like, what is this, a white thing?
No.
Is this a white dude fucking not achieving their privilege?
No, there's a lot involved in like the hip hop community, showing like watches and jewelry, yeah. And well, it's, but I'm,
I mean,
saying
that's kind of, and I'm not
layered.
To say,
it's,
I'm not
more,
to say that, but like as a big fan of hip hop,
yeah,
I know for a fact it's always been the joke, like, you know, if you like, get a nice car, the joke is to pretend you're a rapper, like, oh shit,
right.
You know, like for us.
Because rappers do.
Yeah,
that.
Because that's what rappers do. But there is still a thing about like.
But the reason why rappers do it is a lot of times, you know, they're coming from poverty.
Yeah.
So it's a way to establish like, I've made it from nothing to look what I have now. I was, you know, they're, if you're coming from a community of like real poverty and then you make it out, it's like you're showing that I have made it out.
That there's a way out.
Yeah.
And do you think people just think, oh, Thomas always had money because he's white?
I think
that's what it is. I think they forget that you struggled.
But I also like, here's the thing. Of course I struggle, but like, I mean, some of that part of it is probably like, you know, if you're a comedian, they're like, we don't, you know, showing what, but I also am not sitting here being like, look at all the things. I don't sit there and like flash things all the time, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not even wearing a watch today. Like, I don't.
Why? What happened?
I don't know.
This is crazy.
I don't know.
Wait, why aren't you wearing a watch? Were you robbed?
I don't know. That's the thing is that I don't feel like.
Wait, for real, why aren't you wearing a watch?
I did the workout this morning and I took a shower. I don't know. I just didn't throw a watch.
How many push-ups can you do in a row? 40 is my limit. I can't do more than 40.
I think I haven't tried really to do more than, like, I think I can go 40 to between 40 and 50.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do more than that.
When you see someone do 100 push-ups in a row, you realize what supreme physical condition they're in.
Yeah. It's also, there's a really interesting thing too about, you know, the way people choose to work out, like muscle endurance. You see these guys, people who watch, you know, movies and stuff, they think of Navy SEALs and Green Berets as like these 225 pound guys, and like virtually never are like that. Those guys in those special forces, a lot of times, are 160 pound guys. You know, they're light, lean dudes.
Yeah,
and they have smaller frames, and which is, you know, obviously helps them to do these great endurance things.
Yeah.
And I've seen guys like that do incredible amounts of pull ups and push ups and stuff, right? But the body is like a smaller, contained, super lean body. Which is, you're going to have more of an ability to have endurance.
Yeah.
These big dudes, you know, a lot of times can't do those things, but those guys, that are huge can do like that big lift, that 400-pound bench.
That's what I posted a video. We were finding out who could bench the most on our bus.
Yeah, I was impressed with Peter.
Pete, 245.
Yeah.
He got pinned at 255. But that's what you expect when you're a little boy like that. But
and what'd you get?
245. 255. But what's funny is I didn't read the comments.
Yeah.
But they were reading Dave was reading the comments because Dave was
go up.
Dave was definitely in his feelings about more. Not getting 255 off his
the
chest.
The one in the middle below. Is it that one?
No, it's the one. Yeah, it's that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a comment. I'm not going to get into the comments. I honestly stay away from them.
Yeah.
But
he was in his feelings, though?
Dave was in his feelings.
So yeah, Dave, you put up 245. Like yeah, it was
245
nothing.
Was pretty light.
This is Peter, who's 180.
Peter's 180.
Yeah.
Threw up 145. Dave 245. Gets pinned at 245. He's like, oh, aw. And then it kind of bothered Dave, right? It definitely. Did you see that defeated look on his face?
He's so pissed.
So he's so pissed. So he read all the comments.
I love it.
Like he read all the comments. I love it. And poor Peter got 255.
Man, but he almost had it.
He almost did. And then for me, it was easy. I do this all day.
You did 255?
Yeah, easy.
Look at you,
like Method Man.
Yeah.
And so I'm the strongest person on the bus. So Dave was reading the comments. This is what I love about the comments, right? And I wish I read comments more. I just don't. I don't because there's no positive benefit for me.
Yeah,
if I think, read a positive comment.
I think it's a healthy decision not to.
I'll read the top two. Usually it's poopies and like fucking it's, yeah, from Jackass. Like it's just like cool people. Oh, you know, the other day it was Brandon Novak, one of Bam Margera's friends who's sober. He's like, oh, that's cool, man. You know, whatever. Dave was reading all the comments and he was giggling. I said, what? And he goes, this is fucking great. And I love when this happens. Some guy's shitty and then another fan attacks the guy.
Yeah, oh yeah. That is fun.
And the guy, because you don't realize what you're saying when you throw a rock in a glass house.
Yeah.
The guy's like, oh, great. You can bounce 250 off that fat fucking stomach of yours. And then this guy went, and I guess went to his profile, requested the follow. The guy accepted it. And then the guy goes, your wife's ugly as shit. And the poor guy, he was being a dick, but it hurt him worse. The worst one, I know I've told you, this is my favorite slam I've ever done on anyone, is on Franklin Boulevard over by Beachwood. Dude pulls off the 101 onto Franklin and he almost hits me. And the rule is, usually you're not allowed to cut in if both lanes aren't open. That's how that works. And he just cuts in and I honk because he almost hit me. Then he gets upset that I honked. How dare you honk at me? He's in a van. And he pulls up and he's like, the fuck? What the fuck do you want? And I go, nothing. I'm with Leanne and the girls. I go, nothing. He's with his chick. I go, you almost hit me. And he goes, I didn't. And I said, yeah, I know. Just so you know, both lanes need to be open for you to merge. And he goes, it's not true. And I said, it actually is. And then I looked at his girlfriend and I go, why don't you have your fat mom Google it? And immediately it destroyed that woman. She went, I'm not that old. Like, ha. And this guy was like, what? And looked at his chick. And you destroyed everything they had. Their night was over.
Yeah.
They weren't going to have good time because you wanted to fuck with a pro. That's what you get, buddy. This is all I do.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zolo, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com. /bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and bar mates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplish something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders,
balloonists,
bobsledders,
and big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fellow the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
There have been days, you know you've done this too, where you thought, what would be the best thing? I'm a comic. I'm going to just explore my brain. What would be the meanest thing I could say to someone? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I came up with it.
Oh.
And I heard him.
I live by that motto. Yeah.
I remember one time I got a dude to spit at me in his car and his window was up. He spit at me in his car. You know what I did? I went like this. He was yelling at me. I went, oh, check, please. Anyway, and spit on his own fucking window.
That's a good feeling.
Oh.
Yeah.
I miss it. I don't really get into road rage anymore. Now, I make them feel like they won because I know that if they feel like they won, they will continue that behavior, and one day that's going to bite them in the ass.
Oh, yeah,
and they're going to get choked out by a pro.
Yeah, exactly.
I go, God, you're getting me. God darn it. Son of a, and then they take off. I got that. That's what I do, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then one day they'll run into Eddie Bravo, who's going to fucking
choke him out.
Yeah. Fucking.
God, I'm trying to think of the last time I really went off on somebody.
Do you get in a lot of road rage?
No, not really. Not really. I'm not a angry driver, and I mean, I also let, like, it's funny when you drive like a car that can, there's people are always trying to race you in their shittier car. Like, they come up to you and they're like, whoa, and you're like, no. And then they try and I'm like, I'm not racing you in that, man.
I had a Corvette for a week, like a legit,
yeah,
nice Corvette. It was Chevy gave it, let me drive it for a week. It was really fun to drive.
That's the best.
But I was amazed at how many people looked at me in disdain. They were like, ugh.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. So when you get a Corvette, you get that. Like a Corvette's kind of an obnoxious car. Like, out of all the sports cars you can get, Ferrari, Lamborghini, Corvette. Like, a Porsche is like almost like a, like, you're getting in there. Like, people allow it. They're like, oh, it's a good-looking car, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, a fucking Lambo.
Oh, that's obnoxious.
Oh.
That's the most obnoxious one. It is literally like you're farting in line at a grocery store. People are like, the fuck are you doing in this?
Did you see the Corvette I had for the day with Leon?
Yes, yes, yes.
That was fucking nice.
That was rad.
That was nice. Fucking...
That was the old school, right? Like a 66 or something? What was that?
56.
56, okay.
56 Corvette. And
that was cool, man.
It was so funny.
You know, though, when I saw you in it, man, it made me feel like shit because... I got to pay my life insurance bill and my...
I had a guy pull up to me in that car and he goes, is that thing electric? And I went... And he goes, yeah, I know. And I went, okay. And he goes, it's a good looking car. Those things destroy the environment, and pulled off. And I went, okay. And then one guy.
You should tell him to come to my garage. I got some real fucking.
One guy I was driving down Laurel Canyon. I was shirtless at this time because Leanne, in her infinite wisdom, gets me the car for the day. Because it'll be fun, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And let's go to the beach and Let's cool. go fucking drive around.
It's fun.
She didn't say that until she showed me the car. She showed me the car and was like, look what I got you.
You're like, oh my God.
It's hilarious. I have the full edit of it because, you know, obviously they're going to videotape to.
Yeah.
She says it on the steps. As I walk out, if you watch the video, she says it on the steps. I rented you this. And I went, wait, hold on. Like, but it was like, hey, can I show you your birthday? I got here early. And I was like, oh, early. And I walk out and I'm like, holy shit. And then on the steps, she goes, I rented it for you. And I was like, wait. And my reaction wasn't, because I thought she bought it.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like.
You mean you almost did the first cool thing ever for me?
Well, I was like, well, I got to be honest with you. I looked ridiculous in the car. I looked so big in the car. So they didn't make humans that big when they made that car.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she was like, and then in her true infinite wisdom, she was like, I thought that would be cool. You could promote your tour, your Tops Off World Tour.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, but it everything took me a second to process. Now, mind you, it was like 2 weeks before my birthday. So I didn't.
I don't know, dude. That looks pretty fucking cool, man.
I looked ridiculous in it. I really did look ridiculous. I couldn't tell him. I couldn't see through the windshield. I saw over the windshield. Like, I was looking at, like, look where my head is. I'm looking right at the whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
But I'm driving shirtless. It's fucking pretty cool. I look pretty good in this next picture. Oh, right here. Look at my chest. It's muscle right there. It's muscle. Look at that arm. Look at that arm.
Yeah.
And then, but here's the deal I'm going to make. I've already thought this through a lot. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
From here on out, unless I'm flying to Europe. Okay.
Okay.
Or it's a vacation with my family where I'm not going to drink at an airport. At an airport, I will never drink. I will allow myself the caveat because I was on a fucking the bumpiest flight of my life into Minneapolis the other night. And I was like, I almost broke. I was like, if I had a double Jack on the rocks, my fear would go away and I could relax. I will allow myself that. In moderation on planes.
Yeah.
In scary, like bad turbulence.
Okay.
But I am never going to drink at an airport again.
That's a claim you're making.
Yeah, because I remember one time, you know, I say my prayers before I fly. I remember one time I was saying a prayer and I always say to myself, am I gonna die on this plane? And then my head will shake no, and I go, am I gonna live? And I go, yes. And I remember one time my brain goes, but if you keep drinking like this, you're going to die because of these planes. And I went, oh, fuck yeah. That's the problem is I would have been, you know how drunk I would be right now.
Yeah.
And I would have had drinks in there and I would have been like, hey, what are you doing after this? And you'd be like, oh, I'm going with the kids. I'd be like, I'm going to come by. I would love to see the kids. But, you know, ultimately I'd be like, I know Push will open a bottle of wine with me. Yeah. And then, hey, can I come hang out with you guys? Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. And then next thing you know, tomorrow morning, it's me and you here. And I'm like, well, fuck, let's have another one. I've been drinking all night last night.
Yeah.
And we're going over to Rogan. We might as well get fucking lit there. And it's like that's the part I'd like to get rid of.
Yeah.
I do not ever want to quit drinking because drinking is such a fucking beautiful way to connect to people. It allows you an opportunity to see eye to eye with someone you would never talk to. I might do a show where I travel around the world and drink with the most obscure, like drink with Hezbollah. Like go in, that's my thing. Nadav, you know those people. So I go in to like the biggest terrorist in the world, right? And then I go, instead of doing the interview where I go, so tell me about your thoughts. I go, hold on. And then I pull out some prune wine or whatever they drink over there.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, would you care for a glass of this? And then the guy goes, oh no, in my country, we don't allow that. And then I go, maybe a little bit. And he goes, hey, no one's looking.
Yeah.
And then me and him have a little sip. And then he goes, I love strip clubs. I'm like, I love strip clubs. We should go to a strip club. He's like, I just learned how to fly a plane or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's funny. You get scared on those flights, you're saying?
Terrified.
And I had two flights recently where one of them, the visibility was so bad that the pilot said, we're going to do an approach. And if we can't see the runway, we will do a fly around and attempt a second time. And if we can't see the runway on the second time, we will then go to another city because we have enough fuel to fly to another city.
As you're saying this, there is a guy who pulled me aside. I don't know where I was, but he goes, I need to give you a message to give Tom. He needs to get his instrument ratings. And I went, I don't know what the fuck that is.
Yeah, I know what
he goes, hey, give Tom?
It's a process.
Yeah. Okay.
So we are, we're on this approach, and I had told these pilots, because they were like, visibility is not great. And I was like, oh, bullshit. And they were like, well, they're like, it really isn't. We can depart, but they were like, this will be the plan. Like, we might not be able to land. So I'm like, okay. So we start getting close to the destination, and we're starting to descend. And you can't see anything out the, you can't see the wing when you're looking out the window.
That's, oh, wow. Right? Where the fuck are we flying into?
Into Halifax.
Sleepy Hollow?
So the visibility is like, I think the ceiling they allow to approach someplace is 200 feet, right? And then.
That's 20 stories.
And, but anything below that, they're like.
Wait, am I wrong? Am I wrong? Why is he laughing?
That's just a funny type of measurement.
That's how I measure everything in stories. Keep going. I'm a storyteller, motherfucker.
We start approaching, and like this fog is like, it's like unbelievable. We're descending, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we finally break through, and all of a sudden I see a little bit more. I'm like, oh, we're cool. We're still like, let's say, you know, 10,000 feet in the air. We're still, you know, we're just descending. I'm like, oh, we're cool. I can see a little bit out there. And then we hit a new layer of fog. And this one is even worse. Now, I can lean and see out the front, the cockpit. You can't see a fucking thing. So they turn all the lights off because light bounces off of fog, right? It just looks like.
What time is it?
Brighter. It's late. It's late. It's like midnight.
Oh,
like that.
Shit.
So I'm like, oh, shit. So. We're continuing to descend, and as we're descending, I just get this feeling. I was like, I don't think we're gonna be able to land. And then I go, we're probably just gonna crash and die, right? Like, I think that in my head. And then I go, I guess I'm gonna die right now, you know. And I don't get nervous about it. I was like, I guess we're just gonna die.
Were you drunk?
And not at all. And
because I've had that feeling when I'm drunk. I'm like, I think we're dying today.
Yeah, I was like, I think we're going to die. And
drunk, I just go, I'll survive it.
We end up, we look out. Dude, you know when we actually see the runway? Like 3 seconds before we land.
Are you
it
serious?
Goes like, you go like, oh, and it's like, and you hit the, and I was like, holy shit. And everybody on the plane was like, you know, and the pilots came back after they taxi. They came back into the cabin, and they were like, they're like, I haven't done one like that in a long time. And I was like, you want to do it again? And they were like, no, we're getting out of here.
Shut up.
Yeah, everybody was like really like apprehensive. Another one where the turbulence was so bad that on the approach to land, the plane went like this. And then when they went to correct, they overcorrected. So it went back the other way. And I was like, oh, we're definitely crashing. That's what I said out loud. I go, we're definitely crashing.
And I love that you just
go next to me is like, don't say that.
I love that you just think then that's how that works. See, that's the problem with me on a plane.
Yeah.
Is I go, I'm not ready to die. Gabby Reese told me, you're taken care of. You're not going to die on a plane. And I was like, great. And then I got on that flight, and it was the worst turbulence I've had. And even the flight attendant was a gay dude, and just his reaction was like, oh. And I was like, motherfucker. I was stressed. I'm holding on like this. And he's just looking at me like, whoa, this whole time. And then this black dude next to me, kid in Balenciaga, covered head to toe,
yeah.
Had to be a rapper. The kid had fucking Balenciaga. I don't even know what it is, really, a Balenciaga.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's expensive because Tim Dillon wears it.
Yeah.
head to toe. And he put his hoodie over his face. He didn't want anyone seeing his face.
Yeah.
I thought it was Tyler, the Creator, because he didn't want anyone seeing his face. The whole time his hoodie was like this.
You think it was Tyler?
I don't know. I mean, okay. Yeah, he was a bigger dude. I mean, I look at like rappers like, hey, do you know who I met the other night?
Who?
Freddie Gibb.
Yeah, I know Freddie Gibb.
He's an interesting dude.
Yeah, he's cool.
A really good rapper, too.
Yeah, talented guy.
He was very nice, very sweet dude. I shouldn't say that.
Was that your show?
No. He was at the Comedy Store with Brian Moses.
Oh, you know, a bunch of the Packers came to my show in Green Bay.
I heard.
That was really fun.
I heard. And it's interesting that no one says thank you. not you, not Aaron Rodgers, not Joe, for me being the conduit for which we all know Aaron Rodgers. I befriend Aaron Rodgers. I become best friends with Aaron Rodgers, and I introduce everyone to him, including everyone. He'd already been texting with Joe. But interesting. No, like, text from Aaron. Hey, Bert, thanks for introducing me to Tom. I really love the stand-up.
He told me how he was like, man, you look really good. And I go, oh, thanks, man. He goes, what are you down to? And I'm like, oh, you know. And then he goes, what about Bert? What happened to him? And I was like, he's getting there.
I was at my fattest when I pull up the picture of me and Aaron Rodgers. It is the worst picture you'll ever see of me.
Really?
It is so bad. And I went for a jog that day. It is so bad.
Let's see.
Did you look at this? Look at this fat. Just zoom in on that fat smile.
Yeah.
someone hit me up. They're like, Aaron Rodgers isn't 6'2". Wait, did he wear the same thing to your show? Is that him at your show?
What do you mean?
Is that picture with him in the white hat?
No.
Oh. So wait, what was he like? What am I saying? What was he like? I met him too, but what was he like? Was he cool?
Oh, the coolest.
He's the coolest, right?
Very cool.
He's a cool fucking guy.
You know what really stands out is that Aaron's only like 4 years younger than me, and you're like, you're in the NFL still, right? So you're, and then you realize he's in his 18th season in the NFL, which is fucking bonkers. Like, to play any position, but you're like, you're still like an elite player at that age.
If he said to you, Tom, I'd like to do a boys trip, just me and you.
Yeah.
Go down to Costa Rica, do ayahuasca. You guys like doing ayahuasca, whatever the fuck you guys do.
Yeah.
Would you take off a weekend to go hang out with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Really?
To go do that? For sure.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't?
No.
I would do that.
Aaron can come to my house and spend the night, but that's about it. Who do you think he'd answer? Is he the first number in your phone?
No.
Did you put his number in your phone?
No.
Did you get his number?
No, we just follow each other on
Here, let me
Instagram.
Give it to you.
Okay. All right.
Look at this. The first number in my phone.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Smart that his parents did that. His parents are smart people.
They were thinking about phones.
A-A-R-O-N.
Yeah, they did.
I want to spell my name B-B-E-R-T.
There you go.
B-A-A-B-E-R-T. Abert. I know Abert.
Oh, my God. Jesus. No, but here's the other thing that stands out. So, like, the whole offensive line came, and they're, like, 22 to 25 years old.
Tom just asked if I could give him your number.
Stop. Don't tell me you're sending that. You're not sending that. The first thing I'm going to do is send him a clip of this.
Are you okay with that?
Send me this. You're such a reed. I fucking hate you.
He had such a great time with
you. Stop.
He's all Aaron this, Aaron that.
Shut up, dude. You're the worst.
Oh, this is fucking so much fun.
Yeah. Send me that today.
Who's his best friend? Who's Aaron Rodgers' best friend? Type that in.
What?
We should do boys trip, his best friend and our best friends. Let's see if we can gel.
Okay.
Who's Aaron Rodgers' best friend? Oh, it's Miles Teller.
What?
Oh, David Bloom. David. I bet he makes good Greek food. David. How do you say that last name?
Bakhtiari?
Oh, they're just saying.
He's a lineman.
How do you say his last name?
Is it Bakhtiari?
Bakhtiari. David Bakhtiari. Okay, let's see a picture of him. I think he's more like the Bert, and then Aaron's the Tom.
Let's see.
Yeah, okay. I'm almost certain he's a bigger dude, like looks more muscular. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He looks like Jason Momoa got stung by a bee.
He was at the show.
He's a big motherfucker. Well, my guy.
All these guys, though.
Me and Jason, they have fucking
baby face. That's the thing is you feel so old. Oh, because they're children. Old. Yeah, they're like 20-something years old.
He's a kid.
I think about it, the thing is that when you're a kid, you always, like, you go, like, these pro, they're like, men to you. And then when you become like a grown man and you're sitting here, you're like, wait, you're 24 years old? Like you feel like you're talking to like a kid, you know? Yeah. And then you realize they're like, they're kids in these ridiculous. There was one of the guys was there, was 6'9", 325. And they're like, oh yeah, he lost 80 pounds. I was like, this guy was playing at 4'05". Jesus Christ.
What a fun. What do you think would be your favorite part about being a professional football player? I'll start. Getting in to go into the equipment room and pick whatever shorts you wanted.
That's the fucking most fun?
Oh, yeah. I love practice shorts.
Dude, I think the most fun part about being a professional football player is the same thing that's the most fun about being a high school football player. It's the fucking hanging out with your buddies. Yeah. It's the camaraderie. That's the most. Like, these guys, you can tell, like, when a team clicks, when they have a bond, they're having, and it reminds you, like, oh, yeah, I remember, like, doing that as an amateur. And like, that's the thing that's the most fun. Probably getting paid too is fun, but like it's actually like the
I bet how much money does Aaron Rodgers make?
Oh my God. You don't remember what happened in this offseason?
Oh, I kind of do. He like had a big deal or something.
Well, yeah, he was like, I don't know if I'm
how much money does Aaron Rodgers make?
And he got a new deal.
Oh, $42 million.
Look what he's making in 23 and 24.
$59 million in 1 year?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
This is not including endorsements.
Oh, then we're
just salary.
We are definitely making him pay for it.
Yeah. You got a 3 year.
Where do we want him to take us?
Oh, I mean,
where would be fun to go with Aaron Rodgers? Okay.
Let's go to Asia.
What we should explain to our wives, we're going out with our buddies, David and Aaron, who are single. And it would be weird if we all of a sudden like showed up like as if we had wives.
Right, right.
So we're going to go do a guys trip in Monaco. Right?
That's a very cool place to go.
Yeah. To put David Bakatari in a fucking suit.
Sure. Got to get a yacht if we're going to Monaco, right? We're going to charter
Aaron's
a yacht.
Got the money. Yeah,
Aaron.
Yeah. We'll cater it.
Stop being cheap, man.
Yeah. David, me, and Tom are going to make sure Aaron has a blast, okay?
Okay.
Because he's going to foot the bill.
Okay.
He's
footing the bill, yeah.
$59 million. What's that? That's fucking crazy.
Did you hear what I said? This is not including endorsements, you know?
What does he endorse?
Well, you remember the state? He's like the State Farm guy.
Oh, shit, yeah.
You know, he's got, that's one of them. I'm sure he's got like a dozen. Yeah.
We need endorsements.
We should tell Aaron to call State Farm.
Should we do some State Farm commercials on spec?
On spec?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
State Farm. What does State Farm do? I don't really know.
Insurance?
Yeah, I know, but what kind? Like,
oh, look
like,
what he's got.
Adidas, Bose,
Previa Healthcare,
Izod,
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut we could do.
Yes.
We go fuck up a Pizza Hut endorsement.
And you love pizza.
Yeah. We should do a commercial with Aaron. That'll be like the one. Let's do a Super Bowl commercial with him. Okay. Either edit this out or don't edit this out, but I'm going to put it out there. Okay? We should do a commercial with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
We should do a series of commercials. You do the what Tom does the best, right? Make it look awesome. Aaron is the face of it. Let's do it.
Which product are we going to endorse?
I don't know. Pizza Hut.
Well,
what's a sponsor that we could kind of resurrect, like they did GameStop?
Oh, like bring something back.
What's a thing that hasn't been around in a while that would be like, holy shit, we got Aaron Rodgers, Burt Kreischer, and Tom Segura doing a commercial for us. Mm-hmm. What did we do to deserve this? And why don't we do it for Planned Parenthood? Dude, we'll get woke points, right?
Yeah.
We'll be like, we love killing babies.
Planned Parenthood.
And then Aaron's just spiking babies. Just,
bam.
And it's like us playing football with babies. And we're like, this is how little we care about life.
Yeah, that's a good one. Planned Parenthood could have a good tagline. You know? Whoa.
Fucking, I noticed that on one of the episodes. The fucking Sickler put his goddamn stupid fucking Baltimore hat up there and took down my FSU hat.
I did not notice that.
Oh, you didn't? With that baby head? You see how big that head is?
Yeah.
And it smells the way a guy from Baltimore wear a hat all the time. Like he has one fucking hat. Fucking Sickler. Don't think I didn't notice that. I noticed it and I forgot to fuck with it.
Well, I'm glad you did.
We do woke shit. Here's what we're going to do. Woke shit.
Okay.
We'll what do else woke shit.
Okay. So we can do Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood.
We could do something about.
We'll do a fucking vaccine commercial.
Vaccination. That's what I was saying.
Vaccination.
Yeah.
And it'll be, hey.
So, I got it.
Yeah.
We all get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're like, oh, we got, and we put our masks on. And then when we take them off, like, we can't talk and you can't add anymore.
And we start performing abortions.
Then we just say, it's the right thing to do. That's the tagline.
What if we do soft pitch.
Okay.
What if we do a mashup of Pudding Pop vaccination commercials where it's Bill Cosby giving you vaccinations,
mm-hmm.
like you don't know. I mean, like he's roofieing your vaccinations and mm-hmm. your Pudding Pops.
And then Kanye injects you and you go, Jew.
I don't even know what's going on with Kanye. I've not been following.
He's actually doing really well.
For real?
No, it's fucking, he's having a rough go right now.
What is he? Is he doing it on purpose?
I mean, I don't
know. Is he really?
I really don't know. I mean, all I know is what everybody else knows. You watch this thing unfold and you just form your own opinion about it.
I bet we can get Kanye in there. Me, you, Kanye, Aaron Rodgers doing a commercial for vaccinations.
Yeah.
But vaccinations, this is going to sound, I know I shouldn't even say this, so we'll get taken off YouTube, I bet. Are they still recommending them?
I believe so. As far as I know. I mean, as far as
I haven't heard much talk about it.
Why don't we do a free one for Pfizer? Just give them a...
Yeah.
We'll do it. And then we'll leave Pfizer. It's great.
Why don't we... Okay. Me, you, and Aaron and Rogers and Kanye are at a bar.
Uh-huh.
And this guy comes up and he's like, hey, what's up? I work for Pfizer. You guys want shots? And we're like, good.
What kind?
Just tequila.
Yeah.
We're like, ah. And then we take it and he goes, I put it in the tequila. And we're like, ah.
And then it just time lapse comes, and then we see Kanye. He's going like, the banks, the media, they all work together.
The Rothschilds. Like, yes, the Rothschilds started all this. I don't even know. I knew the Rothschilds were the guys who created banking, right?
I don't know that the Rothschilds created banking.
Yep.
Created banking?
Yep.
I think banking's a pretty old concept.
Mm-mm. Before that, they had goats.
Okay.
And then the Rothschilds came in and made it. Gold-based, bullion.
Did the Rothschilds
create banking? The Rothschilds what invented family? The banking system.
Okay, the Medici Bank was in 1397.
Yeah, the Medicis are friends with the Rothschilds.
That's true. Neighbors. 15th century.
The Medicis are the ones who they were big proponents of Michelangelo, right?
They started banking in the late 18th century, the Rothschilds did.
We should start a bank.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. We need to have a business meeting. We got a lot of things going on.
We do.
That we haven't really... We got a lot of loose ends in our business.
We can have one today.
We need someone to come in and clean us up. When Aaron Rodgers retires,
yeah,
should we offer him a job?
I think he probably would need one. I mean, he's going to be retired.
He's going to need a job.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, you know that guy's good on fucking air, too.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee.
Has him on all the time.
He's with Pat and AJ. He's fucking awesome.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, we should podcast.
Yeah. He'll probably want to live down in Austin.
Maybe.
If he moves to Austin, I'm moving to Austin.
Really?
Yeah. I can't let you become best friends with him. I got to fucking slide in, and this will be an all go, Joe, right?
All right, look, let's wrap this up. We got to take a break.
All right, let's see if Aaron Rodgers replied.
You're so crazy.
He wrote, Tom who?
Very funny. Crazy.
Kidding. He didn't reply. He wrote, I'm in practice. Can I call you later?
Okay.
And I wrote back, yeah, just tell Coach I said hi. He was like, Coach wants to know how you're doing. And I was like,
sure. Whatever. All right.
He said, did you mention that you were going to be performing in Milwaukee or in Green Bay? For your Tops Off World Tour? And I said, no, I've only been focusing on my European portion, but yeah, I will be.
This is your new tour?
Tampa.
Wait, this is your new tour that is different than the tour you're currently doing?
Yeah.
When did you write the new hour?
Right now.
You're writing it now?
I've written it throughout doing this hour. I get bored and I just write new material.
Yeah.
And so then in skinnying this up, I just go, all right, time to build a new hour.
Jesus
and then
Christ.
I do it after I'm done my hour.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are two bears, one cave. Aaron, if you're watching this, we love you, big guy.
Yeah, it was so fun. Aaron this, Aaron that. All right. See you next time.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.